Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
So this is Meet Jesus service. And every time we come to church, we come to meet Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We gather together unto him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So I want to show you something. Go to John 1. Are you ready?
Yes,
John 1 verse 35. So let's look at people who met Jesus and what happened in their life. And maybe we would have the same or a better experience. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You can hear me, right?
Yes, Pastor.
So just pay attention. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
John 1, verse 35. Look into your Bible. John 1, verse 35. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It says, again the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples. So John the Baptist had disciples. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
He had disciples. And so here the Bible is telling us that one day John was standing and two disciples with him. And looking upon Jesus as he walked. So Jesus didn't come to greet him. Are you in this place?
Yes,
John was standing with two disciples. And then, all right, thank you. You can look at the screen now. It says, and then verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked. So Jesus was passing by. Jesus didn't greet him. Jesus didn't come to meet him. Do you understand? It's like you're standing outside church and you see someone passing. And so looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. Verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak. All right, so John was so proud of Jesus. So he sees Jesus and says, behold the Lamb of God. And then the two disciples, they hear it. And they followed Jesus. So they were with him. Jesus was walking, had passed. John said, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples left him. They left their master and they started following Jesus. They didn't call him. They were just following him at the back. All right? Verse 38. Then Jesus did what? He turned. He just noticed, you know, have you ever been walking and you notice someone is walking behind you?
Yes.
And you think the person is following you?
Yeah.
A person might not be following you. Do you understand? And for some people, you just stand and press your phone so the person will go forward. Just in case. All right? But that's what Jesus did. Jesus turned and saw them following. So he didn't even call him. You know, he's just walking and two people are following him. And said unto them, what seek it? What are you looking for? Do you understand?
Yes,
and that's a sensible question. If you're, what do you want? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, be interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said, where are you staying? I think if two strangers were following you, and you stopped and asked, what do you want? And he said, where is your house? So who will start checking if there's bottle or gun somewhere? Just in case. Verse 39. He said unto them, come and see. No fear. Right? He said, come on. There are some people here. All right. First, you tell them, get away from here. Secondly, you not go straight to your house. You go somewhere else just in case. All right. But Jesus said, come and see. So Jesus had a house. Praise the Lord. They came and saw where he dwelt. And abode with him that day, for it was about the 10 at 4 p.m. So they came, saw where he was staying, and stayed with him through the day. Interesting. Verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak, that's one of the disciples, and followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41. He first finded his own brother, Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. I wonder what they heard when they went to his house. Think about it. What could they have heard? That the first thing Andrew thinks to do is to look for his brother and tell him, we have found the Messiah. This was the Messiah the whole of Israel had been waiting for. All the prophets, at least Isaiah, had prophesied about this one man. They meet him for some few hours and conclude this is the man. Interesting. Verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. So he did not just tell Peter, we have seen the Messiah. He dragged him, said, come and see, you must see this man. So he brought him to Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. So I wonder what he heard. Go to verse 43. Are you following me?
Yes, Pastor.
The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and said unto him, follow me. Verse 44. Okay, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So they were village brethren. Do you understand? Verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. What did Philip hear? What did he see? What could he have seen? Think about it. Philip did not join Andrew and John. Two sets of people, the same experience. Immediately they leave Jesus, they want to tell others. Philip runs and looks for his friend. He said he found him as he looked for him. Nathanael. And said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses. How could they have been so sure? He said, Jesus of Jesus. Isaiah talked about a child being born called Emmanuel. So I think if we're following Isaiah and the prophets, we should be looking for a child called Emmanuel. But here he says, Jesus. He knew something about the name. Emmanuel meant God with us. Meaning if you met this Christ, you know God is with you.
Yeah.
And this man called Jesus, he met him, I thought, this is the person. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of it? You know there are people like this, like Nathanael, always doubting. Tell him if you put 1,000 naira, next week you get 1 million naira. What is that called? MMM Pro Max. Anyway, if anybody tells you that, be skeptic. All right? Praise the Lord. All right. But here, Nathanael says, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said what? Come and see. The same thing Andrew did. He said, come and see this man. Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. So Philip said, come and see. And Nathanael did what? Because he was curious. How could he be so sure that this man is the Christ? I'm telling you, two different people at different times met Jesus and they thought they had to share him with someone else. They thought there's something unique about this man. Go to Matthew 9. Matthew 9. Verse 9. Let's look at it together. It says, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, do what? Follow me, just like he told Philip. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus used to go out and call people to follow him. All right? So he saw the man sitting at the receipt of custom, tax office. Do you understand?
Yes,
and said, follow me. And Matthew arose and did what? Followed him. Verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, that means Jesus went to Matthew's house and started eating. Behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his what? Disciples. In Luke 5, you realize that Matthew actually held a feast. He met Jesus and brought his friends. Look at his friends. They were publicans and sinners. But he brought them. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He thought they had to see this Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Go to John 4. Verse 28. Now, let me tell you the story. Jesus had met a woman at the well, asked her for water, and that went to, they continued back and forth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right? And so Jesus talks with her. When he was done, look at what happened. Verse 38. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, verse 29, come, see, it's like the two most popular words after you meet Jesus is come and see. There's a song like that, isn't there? What's the song?
Come and see you.
Praise the Lord. Very scriptural song. All right. She said, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. So she went, this time not her friend. You know, Andrew looked for his brother. Philip looked for his friend. Matthew looked for his friends. This woman went to meet all the men. Do you understand? Everybody must come and see. Let's go to verse 39. 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all ever. That one must have been very popular. All right? She must have had a long history. Actually, she had had 5 husbands. That is such an accomplishment. And she wasn't old. And the person she was staying with was not her husband. And this man, Jesus, was a stranger. And so for a woman like that, in a small village, Samaria, to come and tell you, this man told me everything I did. You want to see that man?
Yeah.
Are you in this place? Yeah. If PK came, or someone else here came and said, come and see someone who told me everything I did, you'd be like, what have you been doing? What did you do? All right? But if you know that person has a track record, you want to see. And so look at it. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. That's why they believed on him. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. They begged him, please stay. People like prophecy. Tell me what happened in my future. People like that so much. All right? There are people going from place to place looking for someone to tell them your future is bright. You are a senator. He said amen. People like that. But if there's somebody that anytime you go and meet the person is doomed, you will want to hear, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat, and they wanted to go to fight. And then Jehoshaphat, being a man of God, a good man, told Ahab, let's not just go. Let's call the prophets and hear what God is saying. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now Ahab was a bad king. So, the devil had planned for Ahab. So, Ahab called a lot of prophets. And they all came and said, go, the Lord is with you. Go, the Lord. Even one was so demonstrative. He said, as I'm pushing these people, that's how you push them away. So, with all the prophets, Ahab was sure if he goes to that battle, he would win. But you know, when you're a man of God, a child of God, you know when something is not right.
Yeah.
Even if everybody is telling you, go, the way is bright, go, the way is bright, you'd have that knowing that something is up. And so after all the prophets had prophesied, you go read it, Jehoshaphat said, this is nice, but is there someone else? Then Ahab said, there's one prophet, and he never says anything good. Anything good. And Jehoshaphat said, don't say that, let's call him. A friend said that, when the prophecy is not good, you will not want to hear it. Anyway, let me finish the story. So they called the prophet, and the prophet said, go, the Lord is with you. Then he said, have I not told you not to lie to me? Because someone will always say something bad. When he finally says something good, you'll be suspicious. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Anyway, all of that to say that these people started begging Jesus to stay with them before they even heard him. They just knew that this man used to tell people their secrets. Telling people their secrets really doesn't mean anything. It won't change their life. If I came and told you all your secrets, has your life changed? It hasn't. But they liked it, so they begged him to stay with them. And he stayed there, what? 2 days. 41. And many more believed because of his own word. So more people believed him when they heard him speak. There must be something about the way he talked and what he said. Verse 42. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is amazing. Just 2 days. Someone has few hours. And they concluded, this man came to save us. This is the Christ. What did he say? What was so amazing about this man? What happened to them when they met him? You want to guess? Go to John 6, verse 35. Let's listen to him. He said something about himself. John 6, verse 35. I just think, what happened to them? He must have been really awesome. Really awesome. Able to meet him and decide they're going to tell everybody about him and conclude this man came to save us. This man came to help us. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Lord. All right. 35. Let's read it together. 1, 2, go.
And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
Hallelujah. There is bread for stomach. When you're hungry, you eat it and you're satisfied. There is the bread of life. That when you eat, in your life, you have satisfaction. This is the surety. Look at it. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He says, he that cometh to me, one thing is certain, he shall never hunger. Meaning no matter his desires, when he meets me, they'll be satisfied. No matter the style, no matter the form. Spiritual desires, mental desires, physical desires. He says, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Whatever you are looking for, you find it at Jesus' feet.
Yes.
There are things money cannot buy, but Jesus gives freely. What to look for? Luke 4, verse 18. So there is an assurance when you meet Jesus, if you have met him, except when you got there, you were distracted. If you meet Jesus and listen to him, no matter the desires of your heart, they'll be met. Let me tell you something. At times, what you think you need is not what you need. It's something else. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
It's something else. Remember, there was a lady, I saw it on NTA years ago. They were talking about misdiagnosis, how some people are affected. And so there was a lady on the TV, and she said that she had a problem. And she went to the doctor, and they diagnosed, you know, something terrible. They had to remove her uterus. All right? Really bad. And so while she was still thinking about that and preparing for that, someone said, why don't you ask someone else, another doctor? So she went and met another doctor. The doctor said, oh, it's an infection. And gave her some pills, and she was fine. Think about that. But initially, she thought she needed surgery. Sometimes what you think you need is you know what you need. Someone can say, oh, and we look at it. I'm emotionally unstable, and this is what I need. But Jesus has true satisfaction. And when you meet him, he'll give you that thing that will settle every other thing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. So listen to Jesus. First thing we are concluding is that when you meet Jesus, all your desires will be met. You will live with satisfaction. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 18. Jesus is talking. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That was what made him different. When they met him, they met a man that was with the Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So if Jesus met a poor man, he had a message for him. A life-transforming message. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, last week, I told you guys something in person. I said that giving to a poor man will not take him out of poverty. He has to learn to give also. But now look at Jesus. He meets the poor. He didn't say he has sent me to give money to the poor. The poor man needs a message. He needs to work on his mind. How he thinks about himself. Now he thinks about money. Praise the Lord. So he says, he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted. If a man or a woman was brokenhearted and met Jesus, there is healing for you.
Yes.
There is healing. That thing that bothered you so much, that hurt you so much, in the presence of Jesus, you live with joy. Fullness of joy. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said to preach deliverance to the captives. This is such a big deal. Deliverance to the captives. Some people have been held captive by bad habits. Dangerous lifestyle. They know they are bound by this thing or bound to this thing. They've tried mentally. They've tried every solution in the book. And nothing has happened. But Jesus is saying he has an anointing. That when you meet him, you'll be delivered from it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
Yes. There are people who are bound by the spirit of fear. That's why they don't make serious decisions. It's not because they are trying to be sure. It's because they are afraid. They are afraid. There's someone that is more serious. They can't stand on the road without thinking something will kill them. It's a spirit of fear. They are bound by it. They are limited in their mobility. But Jesus is saying, if you meet him, you'll be delivered from that captivity. I said bad habits. A lifestyle that is not satisfactory. The people that do things they know is not good for them, but they still do it anyhow. They still do it. They meet friends they know not good, but they still go. This is beyond mental decisions. They can't control themselves. They've been bound by it. They're like that man at Gadara. Go to Mark 5. Mark 5 verse 15. Some people, they just talk. Some people, they just lie. They want to say the truth. They can't help it. They lie. Some people have anxiety attacks. I didn't know it was a real thing until recently. They're always anxious. This is not just, I'm concerned. No, it's an attack. Some can't even stand. Jesus delivers from all captivity.
Amen.
I'm saying some people do things. There are some of you here, where you are right now, in your walk with God, in your life, is not where you know you should be. You've tried to move ahead, but for some reason, you go back. It's like this man, verse 15. Not verse 15, go to verse 5, please. Verse 5. It's a madman. But I want you to see something about this madman. He says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, wandering wanderer, crying and cutting himself with what? Stones. He was hurting himself by himself and he was shouting. What do you think should happen? He should stop hurting himself. But he was bound by evil spirits. And so even though he knew this was paining him, he was still doing it. He knew he was crying. It was hurting him. He had bleedings, but he was still doing it. So it's like that person who knows, this is not where I should be right now. Especially in my walk with God. But you still go back to the wrong associations. You still say the wrong things. You're still doing the wrong things. But guess what? There's deliverance for you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go back to Luke 4 verse 18. Jesus offers deliverance. Tell your neighbor, Jesus offers deliverance.
Jesus offers deliverance.
Tell the other person, Jesus offers deliverance.
Jesus offers deliverance.
Nephi, who are you talking to? The angel by your side. All right, he says to bring deliverance to the captives. No wonder they were so excited when they met Jesus. That person who was bound by the wrong lifestyle met this man that spoke words that set him free. Now he thinks, I need to tell someone else. They might be struggling with this. Are you seeing it? Something changed in them and they knew. They knew. When something changes, you would know.
Yes.
It's like that woman with an issue of blood. The Bible says she touched Jesus and she was going.
Yes.
Something had happened and she knew. She didn't need to ask someone, please look, do I look different? Please help me check. No, she knew something had changed. So this woman met Jesus and knew, look, something had changed. Look at it. It says, preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. So those people who can't see, not just physically, but they are short-sighted. in their decision making, in the way they live their lives. You know, I always think, and I even thought about it a few days ago, life is not mysterious. The choices you make, if you sat down and thought about it, you will know the result in front. There are people that are making the wrong choices right now, and they know in front it's going to be trouble, but they keep doing it. It says it's going to give you recovering of sight, meaning that you would see, if you had not seen before, you would see, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He says to set at liberty them that are bruised, those that have been crushed. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, there are some people who, no matter how old they are, they still remember the terrible things their classmates in primary school said to them or said about them. They still have a complex about it. Maybe in school, someone abused their nose. Oh, it's serious. It's still in their mind because it's psychological. All right? Even in life, maybe their dad, not being trained in how he talks, said, you never amount to anything. You're the most stupid son. He didn't mean it. It was the result he saw that made him angry. Do you understand? Because he borrowed money to pay school fees. And you got 138 over 131. And the person you passed did not come to class. So maybe the dad said, you are the most stupid son I have. Out of the three boys, it's you. And they carry that throughout life. You wonder why they're acting the way they are. Is this not a grown man? What's wrong with him? But he's been bruised. He's always comparing, measuring up himself with others. And he thinks he's not good enough. Jesus came to set him free. To give him liberation. To stop measuring himself with that voice he hears in his head every time. He keeps hearing his mom's voice or his dad's voice or his friend's voice telling him, aha, we've said it. Out of all the people in our village, it's you. That is the trouble. In fact, since you came into our lives, things have gone bad. Because when you were born, that's when your dad lost his job. Your mom became sick. They said, it's you. It's not you. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, Pastor.
It's not you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He says to set at liberty them that are bruised. So if you're here and you're still carrying those injuries, psychological injuries from your childhood, in the name of Jesus, you are delivered.
Yes.
Go and be free.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You are who the word of God says you are, full stop. And you know what? He calls you a chosen generation. Meaning, even if your parents had 9 kids, and they were struggling with those 9 kids, then you came and made it number 10, and everything became tough. Then they said, look, we don't even expect you. Not just that we did not choose you, we didn't expect you. God says you are his choice. You're his choice. You know, people like that. Number 10 out of children, he says, that's why I'm sick. After all, nobody even expected me. No, God planned for your coming.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
He said he knew you before you were born.
Yes.
Your parents would not have expected you. But he knew you before you came.
Lord.
And he planned for your coming.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And you deserve only the things he has for you.
Yes.
Only the things he has for you. That's why you've not called your parents at home. Because of these things that you heard. Leave it alone. You're a testimony.
Yes.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
All your siblings had at least 6 A's in WAEC. You're not even 1 A. Now you're looking at them and you're thinking, I'm the black sheep. You are a sheep. You are Jesus' sheep. And there's nothing black about you. Say, I'm God's choice.
I'm God's choice.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes. So he came to set at liberty them that are bruised. There are people, you can't trust others because of what someone did to you. Even right now, the Spirit of God is ministering to us. You can't trust others because of what someone did to you. But you don't know it's a wound you are carrying. And it's going to limit you in life. But you can't trust others. No. No. Forgive and move on. Praise the Lord. Forgive. And you know what? Forgive absolutely. Meaning, don't bring it back again. Don't go and say, people, that's why I'm like this, because of what that person did. You're carrying it like a baby. And you keep growing and influencing your life. No matter what that person did, drop it. It's not for you. Go ahead and live the glorious future that God has planned for you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And if Satan comes with the thoughts that you're not good enough, the thoughts that nobody even wanted you, tell him, devil, out. And he would go. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
There are people that have been bound, limited. There's some things they can't do because of that bondage they're in. Like I said, psychological bondage, at times even physical bondage. Go to Luke 13, verse 10. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Now, as I'm talking right now, listen to me.
Yes, Pastor.
There are spirits of grief that have left this place.
Yeah.
That have left people. Where there was grief, there is now joy. No, they would have been harboring this spirit. You don't even know it. You don't know it. Because your heart, but they are gone. They are gone. Verse 10. It says, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. That's what I want you to see. All right? She couldn't do some things because she was bound by that spirit of infirmity. All right? So, if she was building a house, all right, the way she built her house would be dependent on the way she's bowed. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
So she has been limited by that physical condition. Now, there are people here that there are some choices you cannot make, some decisions you cannot take, some places you cannot go because of something personal to you. But when you meet Jesus, like she met Jesus, there is liberty.
Yes.
Go to verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, you see, I love Jesus so much. Because this woman was bound for 18 years. She had gotten used to it. Do you understand?
Yes.
The people have gotten used to their pain. Gotten used to their problem. Gotten used to that family member that is always bringing issues. You've gotten used to it. But Jesus had not gotten used to it. Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
He knew that woman. He is the word of God. And he said, you know what? She has been with this for 18 years and she's old. Let her just continue. No. When he saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. Verse 13. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately, oh, praise the Lord. 18 years versus immediately. What a God we serve. Someone says 18 years. It should have taken at least 2 months for her to start changing. Maybe she was like this. Now she'll be like this. Then she'll be like that. Then she'll be like that. No, not with God.
Yes.
It says immediately she was made straight and glorified God.
Yeah.
He came to deliver the captives.
Yeah.
Immediately. Immediately. When you meet Jesus, things will change. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Immediately. If someone here, you smoke in secret. Well, not really secret. Because you go to buy the cigar. But you don't want important people to know. There's deliverance for you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
As I just said it, you went, there's deliverance for you. And then someone else is drinking. But you don't get drunk, oh. You don't get drunk. But you're uncomfortable with it. In the name of Jesus, you're set free.
Yeah.
It says, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Maybe it's a family member that needs deliverance, not you. But when you meet Jesus, he'll take care of your family too.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes, Pastor.
Just give me some time, all right? I want us to see some things in some verses, okay? Just quickly. Go to John 4, verse 46. John 4, verse 46. I just wanted to see how these people were so desperate for their family members. Because there are some of you like that. Like I said, maybe it's a family member that you've gotten used to bad news coming from him or her. Or someone who's sick. Or someone who is careless, who gambles. Anytime there's money, the person does a good job, earns at least 150K, but spends everything in gambling. He's always hopeful that Arsenal will win. Sorry. I'm saying sorry because Arsenal fans take things very personal. Very personal. Please. So don't be distracted by what I said. Please just pay attention. Okay. He's always hopeful that Chelsea will win. Man, you will win. Baka, everybody. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. But I want you to see that at times you can meet Jesus for your family members and things will change. Look at this. 46. It says, so Jesus came again. I just want to look at some scriptures. So please, stay with me. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman. So this is a chief. Do you understand? Whose son was sick at Capernaum. Verse 47. When he heard that Jesus was coming out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him. That means he begged him that he would come down and heal his son. Read that last part.
For he was at the point of death.
See this man's desperation. He traveled to beg Jesus to come. He said, my son is at the point of death. Meaning he's at life support. Do you understand?
Yes,
he has died already. He has died already. Please come. And Jesus told him, go your way. Your son liveth. Jesus needs to travel. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 I mean, we've been listening about Jesus and all of them saw Jesus physically except this man. The son needed to see Jesus physically. Jesus said, okay, let's look at it. Verse 15. Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy son liveth. The son was at the point of death. This was a serious case. It wasn't small cough or malaria. But Jesus sent him back with his word. He said, go your way. Your son is alive. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Verse 51. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, meaning that when Jesus said it, the son came back alive. So his servants were running to go and meet him. Do you understand? So they met at the road. His servants met him and told him, saying, your son is alive. Jesus didn't need to go to his house. He sent his word. It is that same word you're listening to right now. And that's why I said, have it broken permanently in the name of Jesus. Let's look at another one. Very touching. Go to Mark 5, verse 22. Quickly. All right, quickly. Mark 5, verse 22. So we'll pray. 5, verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. These were desperate measures. Do you understand? He didn't stand to talk to him face to face. He fell at his feet. Do you know what it means for a grown man? Jesus was barely 33. To see someone younger than him and falls at his feet. This is a desperate situation. Fell at his feet and besought him greatly. This was not small begging. He begged him greatly, saying, my little daughter, lieth at the point That word again. At the point of death, I prayed. And you know what? This was serious. Because while Jesus was still ministering to that woman with the issue of blood, the daughter died. Chances are it was while he was going, she died. This was serious. He said, I pray you, come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. But she died. But because he had met Jesus, there had to be a solution. And Jesus went and told the girl, get up. And she got up. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Go to Mark 7. Verse 25. For a certain woman whose young daughter, all of these, they are kids, young children. Young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and did what?
Fell at his feet.
It's not easy to fall at someone's feet, do you know? Have you tried it before? Kneeling down self is hard. Talking of just falling. Verse 26. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. She knew once she meets Jesus, her daughter will be fine. Look at the faith of these people. They knew once they met Jesus, something would happen to their family members. They were okay, but they had relatives that needed help. Maybe you're here and you are okay, but you have a dad or a sibling or a cousin that needs help. I'm saying things can change immediately right now.
Yes.
Go to Mark 9. This one is more touching. Mark 9, verse 17. Are you in this place?
Yes, Master.
And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son. So this one did not beg Jesus to follow him. He brought the child. Which had a dumb spirit. Verse 18. And wheresoever he taketh him. So that means the boy first, he can't talk. There's a spirit that carries him. And just takes him anywhere. He says, wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. Sometimes he's standing and he begins to display and he foameth. Have you seen people like that? I've seen people like that. They're just in the middle of the road, they're foaming. It's supposed to be a brain seizure. But this man knew that this thing is a spirit. And he foameth and gnasheth his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Go to verse 22. 22. Or go to verse 21. 21, please. So Jesus asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? So he's saying, how long has he been suffering like this? And he said, of a child. Since when he was small. Why would a baby go through that? What could the baby have done to be suffering like that? So while he was talking, verse 22, the father is still talking, said, of a child, and oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into waters. Many times the fire is outside, and this spirit takes the child and is going into fire. Other times the child picks up race and is running to the sea to destroy him. That means this boy had many near-death experiences because of the spirit. And the father said, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and what? Help us. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm just thinking of families where, in fact, it's not like they even have a lot in terms of finances. Then there's this sickness that they are managing. And I'm thinking in their hearts, they're thinking, God, please just help us. Have compassion on us and help us. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Well, Jesus helped them. Let me tell you something. He said, one assurance you should always have is when you come to him, you will never hunger. No matter what it is that you need, no matter how long, at times, the length of the problem can be a stronghold in your mind. Because it's a family issue that has been there for so long, you might be skeptic. Maybe it's a personal issue that has lasted for so long. Maybe you have experiences where you wanted to deal with this issue and it wasn't dealt with, so it becomes a stronghold. Throw away all that stronghold. This service is not called Meet Jesus for nothing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
While we are praying, you'll be communing with the Lord and things will change. Praise the Lord. For some people, things have already changed as I'm talking.
Hallelujah.
They've already changed. Let me show you one last one. I have a lot here, but go to Luke 7. Luke 7, verse 2. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
We're about to end, so please just look. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and what? Is that connotation I want you to see? Ready to die. The other one was point of death, but didn't want to go. Was at the point. This one was ready to die. But there are people like that. They're so sick, they say, I'm ready. Let me just go, safe. I'm ready. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So this man, his servant, was sick and ready to die. Verse 3. And when he heard of Jesus, that's where the change always happens. That's where it always happens. No matter how bad the situation is, once Jesus, oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Once Jesus is introduced to the story, you can expect a change. But Jesus lives in me today. And Jesus is in this place today. He doesn't need any introduction. He's right here. And you know what the Bible says? You know what he said? He said he didn't come to judge you. Maybe what you're going through, naturally you deserved it. You're the one that went to go and climb wall. Nobody asked you to climb. And jumped down because we wanted to prove that the law of gravity is fake. And now your bone is broken. So you can't sit down properly. You can't stand up properly. He won't judge you. Go to John 12. John 12 verse 47. Jesus is talking. He says that if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. That's not what I want you to see. See what he said. He said, for I came not to judge the world, but to what?
Save the world.
So no matter even if it's your fault, he won't judge you, he will save you out of it.
Yes.
He also didn't come to condemn you. He won't judge you, he won't condemn you. Go to John 3 verse 17. So remarkable. He won't condemn you to that problem. He won't say, Shebi, I told you. No. He says, for God sent not his son. Jesus is talking. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. He said, God didn't send me to condemn the world. But that the world through him might be what?
Saved.
He didn't come to judge you. He didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come to destroy you. Go to Luke 9 verse 56. Luke 9 verse 56. Jesus is talking. I like it because all along he's the one talking. He says, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. There's one word that has been common in those three verses. What is it?
Save.
That's his name, you know. That's what Jesus means. So if there's one thing you can be rest assured of, anytime Jesus is present, it's salvation. It's salvation. And let me just show you as an addendum. Go to Luke 6. Luke 6. Verse 6. Luke 6, verse 6. He said, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that I entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. Verse 7. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. Think about that. They were watching whether you heal, so they were accusing. For healing, for doing something good. Verse 8. But he knew their thoughts. And you think, since he knows their thoughts, you say, let me not heal, oh. These people are planning me. But nothing, nobody is big enough to stop you from God's blessing. They don't count to God when it comes to blessing you as an individual. They don't. Maybe you hurt someone in the past, all right, and you've asked for forgiveness, but they are still holding on to it. I think because of that, you deserve to suffer. They don't count anymore. They don't. Verse 8, but he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had withered hands, rise up, stand for the midst. I love Jesus so much. He said, he knew that they were looking at that man, wondering if you heal him. So he decided to make it a spectacle. He said, get up, stand in the middle. And he arose and stood forth. Verse 9. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. He said, I have a question for you. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life, that's what I wanted to see. He thought that man didn't have to go through life with a withered hand. So it's his right hand. I mean, we all know what to do with our right hand. So important. So he thought, I'm going to save this man's life. He says, to save life. He said, which one? Is it lawful to save life on the Sabbath day or to destroy it? Verse 10. And looking about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. That's a miracle. Go to verse 11. And they were filled with madness. Others have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at these ones. And commune one with another what they might do to Jesus for helping someone. But they are not a factor. Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
They're not a factor. Listen, your past is not a factor.
Yes.
All right?
Yes, Pastor.
Your son name is really not a factor.
Yes, Pastor.
You have a new name now.
Yes.
The Bible says you'll be named with the name of Christ. Your environment is not a factor. Your family history, background is not a factor. Your past results, academic results, is not a factor.
Yes.
When you meet Jesus, only one person matters. To him, that's you. To you, that's him.
Yes.
The two people that matter are together. That's all that matters.
Yes.
Anybody who meets Jesus never went hungry. Not in terms of food, in terms of their desire. And they never tested. And anybody Jesus met, their lives never remained the same. And he said, where two or more of you are gathered together, are we more than two?
Yes.
So I think we are overqualified for his presence.
Yes.
That means he's here right now.
Yes.
All right. What do you want? That's number one. What do you want? And he's here right now. You know, all the people who met Jesus were very clear about what they wanted. Those that were not clear, he asked them, what do you want? Because you walk with what you want. Remember, you must be hungry first before you never hunger. Meaning there must be something you want first. Don't be shy. And don't think God is tired of you. He cannot be tired of you. Right here, right now, talk to him. Now, there are some people, like I said, you've already been delivered, so thank him. Talk to him. There's some people with bad habits. Today is the end.